Stay tuned to hear recorded portions of this week's St. Petersburg Downtown Neighborhood Association meeting that features a discussion of Albert Whitted Airport with guests Jack Tunstall and Walter Driggers. Here is the St. Pete DNA Vice President, Scott Clark, to make the introductions.
There's two individuals that are going to join us in our spotlight presentation. I'm going to introduce the bios of both of them, so that way we can kind of roll from one to the other. We have Jack Tunstall, who is on the Albert Whitted Airport Advisory Committee. They gave me some bio information and said definitely scale it back. People don't want to hear all this. I actually think it's pretty interesting, so I did scale it back, but there might be a little bit more about these two individuals that I think you'll find interesting. So Jack's been involved in aviation since 1978. He's certified in many things, but some of them include the FAA commercial pilot licensing and flight instructor in single and multi-engine airplanes. And Jack has over 17,500 hours and flown over 60 models of airplanes. Jack moved to St. Petersburg in 1985 to work for Florida Power Corporation in the Nuclear Operations Division as a senior nuclear licensing engineer. Jack's a charter member of the Albert Whitted Airport Advisory Committee when it was formed in 1988, and he has served as chair since 2003. Jack has received several awards. In 2004, in particular, he received the Lawrence P. Sharples Award from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. That award is given to private citizens who have the greatest impact on general aviation. And Jack received this award for his 2003 election actions locally here to secure the future of the airport in the city through city charter changes. The FAA also changed an airspace intersection to Jack T, representing his name, in recognition of his airport advocacy. Walt Driggers is the other individual that will be talking tonight. Walt is a native of St. Petersburg. He learned to fly as a teenager at Albert Whitted Airport. During high school, he worked at Publix as a bag boy to pay for his flight lessons so he could become a pilot. After a stint in the military, he returned to St. Pete and with the help of the GI Bill, earned his commercial multi-engine helicopter and flight instructor ratings. In 1976, however, he was discouraged by the politicians that were threatening the existence of the airport, and he felt his St. Pete career was in jeopardy, so he developed his own airport in Citrus County. He moved to Central Florida, and he's been building businesses there in real estate, including a real estate auction firm. When, throughout the years, Walt continuously fostered his love for aviation, teaching an occasional student as well as his son and wife to fly, and incorporated flying as a tool in his businesses and competed in aerobatic competitions. In 2013, believing that Albert Whitted's place in downtown St. Pete to be secure because of that 2003 referendum that deemed it would be an airport in perpetuity, Walt and his wife returned to downtown St. Petersburg to live and enjoy the airport. Now in St. Pete, he's a supporter of Tampa Bay Watch, a volunteer of the St. Pete Free Clinic, a member of the Albert Whitted Advisory Committee, and Vice President, Director, Treasurer, and spearheading the newly formed 501c3 Friends of Albert Whitted Airport. So both these individuals have done a lot for this community and for the airport, and we're going to have them speak to us tonight and give us some more information. Gentlemen.
Mark, thank you for letting me come down here to Walton and Boat to talk to you about the airport. Obviously, I've been involved in several confrontations with political leaders over the past 35 years. I think in Walt's bio, Scott mentioned that he left the city because of the attitude of the political parties. That's what formed the Airport Advisory Committee in 1988, was people kept talking about, let's get rid of the airport. The question had never been asked to the public. It was always a politician talking about what they wanted to do, and that would always benefit the citizens. And nothing was ever asked of you guys. So in 2003, it came to a head. I was the principal speaker, leader, rubber chicken lunch eater, out in front talking about this airport and how important it is to the community. It has prospered since 2003, when the citizens decided, we want to keep this airport, we want to keep it in perpetuity, which made the federal agencies in the state of Florida happy, because now they knew that there was a commitment that this airport would stay. For 2003 on, we have put about $28 million into the city, into the airport. That money, 90% of it has come from the FAA. State of Florida makes some contribution, but again, it is mostly FAA funding. They range anywhere from 90 to 95% of grants. Well, we're fat, dumb, and happy, but things were going great until the election last year. Mr. Welch got elected. Nothing about the airport in any of his campaign discussions. Less than 3 weeks in office, he stands on the staircase in front of the city hall and says, we need to rethink Albert Woodard Airport. One, nice of you to tell anybody, including city council, they were blindsided. And granted, they had four new members, but the existing council didn't know anything about it. A few of the mayors didn't know anything about it. And so he made a pitch that we need to have a community conversation about the airport and decide whether we want to keep it or not. Well, federal agencies look at that and say, look, wait a minute, what's going on here? I look at it as, hey, you guys made a decision, maybe not you specifically 20 years ago, but the citizenry made that decision. Where are we today? During the preceding year and setting up for the budget for 2023's budget, the mayor refused to take $356,000 of FAA/DOT money. He rather said, I'm gonna let the citizens of St. Pete pay that. The federal government was willing to pay the better part of that $356,000. It's now a budgeted item. We have two projects that he is funding to that tune, because he made a statement back in May that anything safety related down at the airport will take care of it. But the other $14 million worth of capital improvement items that we've got in the budget, we're just gonna take them out. City Council said, nope, you don't do that. You got to put them back in. But the safety-related functions, he agreed, yes, citizens will underwrite that. What are those two projects? There's an electrical vault on the airport. It's where all the electrical services are. If it gets a lightning strike or one of these contractors downtown cuts a power cable, trust me, that's happened, then the airport is without any airfield lighting whatsoever until it gets repaired. Their game plan is, with part of this $356,000, which the federal government was willing to put in, they're going to redesign the building and put on an emergency diesel generator. The control tower, which we built in 2011, has its own emergency diesel generator, but it cannot carry the load of the airfield at the same time and run the control tower. There's another project and this is classic government. When we built the control tower in 2010-11, the FAA specified the equipment that's supposed to be in it. They gave the city the money and said, you go buy it because you're going to have the building. So the FAA gave us a shopping list and went out and bought it. Put it in the first evaluation by the left hand of what the right hand did. The left hand says, this equipment you got in here, where did it come from? Well, it's part of the installation. Well, what are you using it for? Wind and wind speeds and wind direction, altimeter settings for aircraft. Can't use it. Why not? Well, we didn't approve it. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. It was only your shopping list. Nope, can't use it. So for 11 years, we've had equipment in the control tower that we cannot use that was paid for by taxpayer money. All right, well, guess who's going to pay for that now? The mayor's decided you're going to pay for it. 300, again, these two projects are $356,000 that could go for something else, like the marina, like the municipal services building, Williams Park, okay? Any of these projects, there's this money that he has earmarked and said, council voted 7-0. Why is it 7? Because at that point, we didn't have the 8th council member. She had to resign. So 7-0 on 4 different occasions. Put the money in, take the money. For the budget hearing that actually took place the week after the hurricane, the council made a resolution that said, take the FAA DOT money. The mayor, through his minions, said no, he wasn't even in the building. He did not stay in the building for the budget hearing to hear anybody say whatever they thought about his budget. All right. So that's where we stand. We hopefully are going to finish this project. You know, it started with the engineering and whatnot. Now, this project money, this $356,000, that's only to design stuff. The estimated cost to actually build that building and put all that equipment in is $1 million. Yes, ma'am.
What do you know about the grant?
The what?
The grant, that 20-year grant, was that turned down this year? Wasn't there some money that we used to
get from the federal? 20 years, when you accept any FAA grant, there's an automatic understanding and signed paperwork that you will, the sponsor, the City of St. Pete, will maintain the airport as an airport for a minimum of 20 years or the serviceable life of the equipment. We rehabbed runway 1836 last year for $4 million. So the 20-year clock goes from 2022 to 2042. The FAA has made it very clear there is no grant repayment, there is no forgiveness. You took the money, you signed it as your chief executive, at that time it was Chrysler. You're committed. He seems to think he's gonna be able to talk somebody into forgiving that commitment. So it's a commitment. We've already taken the money, we've already turned the dirt, we built the equipment, we bought the equipment, it's installed, so it's a 20-year clock. And again, it comes back to this current fiscal year, he has thrown the money that citizens put in as taxpayers, he's thrown it over and said, we're going to spend the money rather than spend it somewhere else. All right, thank you very much. I got to answer any questions. The airport annually, right now, is running over 100,000 operations a year. Divide that by 365. Right. The tower keeps track of all the traffic during its normal operating hours. They're there from 7 in the morning until 9 at night. Technology's come along here with the ability to see aircraft that will come in after the control tower closes. For years, we didn't, it's kind of a guess as to what came in after 9 o'clock. But now, because of this particular piece of software and equipment we've got on our airplanes, you can tell who was here at what time after 9 o'clock. So now the airport manager can help the count and account for the stuff that's here at night. And trust me, there's a lot of flying going around here, simply because Florida is a training base for pilots. So this airport is running all of the years. The states just run some economic numbers. They do it every 4 years for every airport in the state. All right, the numbers. Currently, this is 2022 numbers. There are 948 jobs directly related to this airport. You don't see it. I'm one of them. I'm a flight instructor. That's where I make my living.
That's slide number three.
Shucks. He's got the numbers. He's going to show them up here.
Sorry, I jumped
ahead. Yeah, I don't want to kill the suspense. But yeah, your airport is valuable. That's why we want to come out and talk to you folks about it. Is to let you know what you don't read anymore, okay? Because we don't have the same big times as such. We're still out there. And of course, when you get your name on the editorial board for at the same big times, you've done something, and I've done that. They didn't like me.
So her question was, what revenue are you generating for the city? I think you're saying jobs.
Jobs. The payroll and that we generate. We spend that money somewhere. But yeah, the revenue the city charges the folks on the airport, shelter, the revenue the restaurant generates, a portion of what he charges you for a hamburger, got to kick over to the city. All right? So everybody out there is paying their fair share. He's got a hammer. A percentage. Actually, 80% of what he pays the city, $500. So 80% for it.
I wish.
But a portion, and like I said, the number is currently 80%, goes to the city, and it goes into a thing called the Airport Enterprise Fund. We have to match some of these FAA grants. Like I said, to get 90%. Well, where's the other 10 come from? State of Florida, general kid down 5%. That means the municipality's got to find 5%. Okay? So you get $1 million contract, they're going to give you 900,000. State may give you 50, and then, okay, we got to have the money for paying our bills. And so the lights that are burning on the taxiway light, runway light, got to pay the electric bill. That money comes out of the Airport Enterprise Fund that everybody on the airport contributes to through fuel sales, hamburgers, okay? Tires, gasoline, you name it. So that's where the revenue comes from. All right, I'm going to give this thing to Walt and he can tell you about the other slides that he's got.
Thanks, Jack. Jack's real good about this. I said, Jack, I've got this PowerPoint set up here and I've got a good beginning, I've got a good ending, but I'm kind of working on the in between. He says, keep them close together. So we're here to talk about Albert Woodard Airport, and just let's sort of look at this right now. This is the old sewage treatment plant right here, and people think it's been shut down. Well, it's not being used like it was, but it's still a transfer station that takes everything that comes out of all of those buildings and sends it out by Eckerd College. So, but if you go and you start talking about Albert Woodard Airport and you look up Albert Woodard Airport or St. Petersburg and talking about aviation, St. Petersburg is known as the beginning of commercial aviation. It is the birthplace of commercial aviation. There's no argument about that. It started with Tony Janus and the Benoit when they flew from right around Albert Woodard Airport down by the pier, and they flew over to the Hillsborough River around Tampa. And that was the first scheduled flight, and I think the name of that was the airboat. It was the Tampa St. Petersburg airline at the time. So it went from the Central Yacht Basin and it went over to Tampa. And then you look at the crowd they gathered out at that time. That was because remember, this was just a few years after the Wright brothers in 1903. So here we are 11 years later in St. Petersburg, when St. Petersburg in the 20s or before this, it was just a real young town. And then the first commercial flight in Florida and a lot of places was National Airlines. And if you look at this building up here that says National Airlines on the back of that building. That hangar is still there right now. It's on the National Register. On the back of that building, if you drive by there now, it says National Airlines there because as they were cleaning up the building, they found those old signs there. And it was there from 1934. They did mail, they did passengers and what have you. And then the site was first used in 1917 as they did a shell runway, and they used that for a long time until the city decided we're really going to jump into aviation. In 1928, they decided they were going to build Albert Woodard Airport, and it opened in 1929. And so, and as Jack says, there's 100,000 plus operations. I was talking to the tower today, and I looked it up on the website today, and it's actually closer to 200,000 right now. But they divide that as itinerants. Those are people who come in and then go back somewhere else. And you'll see that in just a minute, how where they're coming from. The other ones are what they call local traffic. And those are, there's a flight school there. Those are people who never leave. They'll take off in the traffic pattern, and they'll just do touch and goes. Or they'll go out to the beach and they'll come back. Those types of things. There's helicopters. There's all kinds of stuff. In 2009, this state of Florida gave Albert Woodard Airport the Airport of the Year Award, and that was based on safety, aesthetics, and management. This is the impact, the environment, the economic impact from 2021. And you see all these, see all those red dots where people come? Those are the itinerants. Those people fly in. People seem to, a lot of people think that Albert Woodard Airport is just for the people who live here, who keep a few little airplanes out there. But it is used. It comes, these people come in, they spend money in the businesses downtown. We were in one of the city council meetings and the guy jumps up, he says, I own DATS, I own a hotel, I have a couple restaurants, and you wouldn't believe the amount of business I get from that airport. Please leave that airport alone. He also said, oh, by the way, my daughter's 17, she just got her pilot's license there, but I don't fly, he loves it. So you can see this is statistics from the entire state. These are statistics from Albert Woodard. The payroll is 42.9 million from the 948 jobs that are related to the airport. They're not all right on the airport, but they're related to the airport. It's the people who deliver the gas there, the gas companies that are doing that, and other things like that. But there's the economic impact for the city is $128 million, which is 60% higher than it was in 2019. It's growing, it's getting busier. But let's look at who's really using it and how it impacts the people here in town. There's businesses, there's charter operations, they come in, we talked about the guy at DATS, people flying in, people come in to the airport to use the restaurant, they go to the Dolly Museum, they walk downtown, they love it. Because it's so close. Most airports you go to are out in the community, are out in the out of the community, they're out in the country, and then you have to figure out, do they have a crew car? Can you take Uber? This one you can get here, you can walk, you can go anywhere, it's really nice. This is a magic piece of equipment that lives on the airport. I talked to that guy, he came and talked to us. That's the All Children's Hospital helicopter. They can be on All Children's Hospital in 3 minutes. They base the helicopter there. They have their own fueling there. They operate 24 hours a day. They can't leave the helicopter on top of the hospital because the Coast Guard also uses that to bring people out of the, when they're rescuing people, and other helicopters from other hospitals bring patients in. And so they have to keep that helipad clear, but this is it. Now, 3 minutes, that's really good. How convenient. Any other helicopter that brings another patient in, they have to come to Albert Woodard to get fuel because helicopters don't have enough. They use a lot of fuel and they don't carry a lot of fuel. So they come around. We get a lot of business out of that. But this helicopter, they tell me, that company does over 500 missions a year. When the hurricane came down in Fort Myers, They brought 18 babies out of the hospital down there to this hospital, and a total of 56 to other hospitals in the area. That's a valuable asset. That's something that is works for the community that most people don't know about. How many people knew that they did 500 missions a year? You just don't know. You did. You knew. You fly that sucker?
No, I hear them.
Oh, you hear them. I got you. Where my bed is, I can see them land. And I always go at 2:30 in the morning. Who's going through this trauma? The poor families going through this trauma. I know they're happy. They can get there. So I really like that deal. So then we talked about the Hangar restaurant. But in the rain, I mean, we didn't talk about, but it's the St. Pete Grand Prix. We closed one of the runways, and they use that. There's their straightaway, that's their start-finish line. And what I love about it is you see this sign, and it's a big banner they put out here. It says St. Petersburg. You can barely see it there, but you can see how they've configured it. Why do they configure it that way? Because the helicopters that are reporting and taking pictures and doing the video, they're broadcasting globally for all the race fans, are showing St. Petersburg. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever watched the race on TV? You see the race on TV? It makes St. Petersburg beautiful. Everybody wants to come, and we're advertising. You can't buy that kind of advertising that they put out there. It's spectacular. And we lose the runway for 3 weeks to a month, but we're glad to have it. This is an interesting picture here. This is Ed Montaneri. He's the city councilman. This is Gina Driscoll. She's the past chair. She's the city council. This guy is Harris and his wife. And what they do, they run an organization called Soul Relief. Who knows Soul Relief? Nobody knows Soul Relief. Right here in Albert Whitted. Based right here, what they do is they respond to national disasters. When the hurricane came down to Fort Myers, they took in their airplanes, they took first responders from three counties around and delivered them down there. They delivered water, they delivered generators, they took them everything they needed. I mean, they're just, and they have volunteer pilots and volunteer airplanes pack them down there. This day was done in hangar number 2, and they collected gifts for the kids who were down in Fort Myers who lost everything during that, and they gave them Christmas presents to all the kids. And this is them loading them in all the airplanes. There's Ed Montaneri again. There's Jack. There's Jack, he's standing over there. He's going, hey, can I have one of those? No, anyhow. This is my wife loading it in. What can I say? So this is some of the other things that go on there for businesses. They buy plane rides and helicopter rides. How many's going on the helicopter ride? You have. Was it fun?
It was.
Okay. How about the biplane? Did you go? The helicopter or the biplane?
I didn't have fun.
Oh. Come on, they told me this was a nice group. What, you didn't like it?
Well, I wasn't conscious most of the time.
Oh, you were in the other helicopter. Were you glad it was there? Oh, you didn't go from this airport?
No.
Okay. Okay, well, this particular helicopter is one they do trips and, just fun things with. And so I saw him land. This is the pilot and this couple here. I walked up to him. I'm kind of curious. I go, Excuse me, can you tell me what you're doing? He says, it was his birthday. Has anybody seen the lights go off on the side? I think we ought to get this. I'm on one or something, but it's okay, everybody's doing the same. Okay, good. So, but it's his birthday, and she wanted to give him a helicopter ride. He's always wanted to go on one. They live in Tarpon Springs. They drove to Albert Whitted Airport because they could take the helicopter ride for his birthday. And they look happy, he looks happy. He wasn't unconscious. There's flight training out there. Anybody know about a pilot shortage? Anybody heard about a pilot shortage? Globally. There's a global pilot shortage. And Jack's an instructor, these are some of the instructing airplanes. This over here is on the summertime. This is Terry Greiner with Albert Whitted Preservation Society. She does a summer camp for children who are 8 to 12 years old to let them touch airplanes, climb in airplanes, learn about it, and see if they can get them interested so they'll be a pilot when to help this global shortage. The Civil Air Patrol also has students out there. They teach them. And I put these two in here. These are two of the 15 certified flight instructors that work out of St. Pete Air. And the reason I put them there is aviation nationwide, actually globally, but nationwide, let's just deal with the United States, has about 5% women. And Albert Whitted Airport has about 9% women. We just went through it. They have about 9% women that are training, that have trained there. So we have a higher percentage of anything. But these two women are flight instructors. They got their licenses about 2000 or 2001. They don't really remember. She's trained about 1,000 people, a lot less than Jack. And she's got about 110 people who've got the license. She's got about a third of that, because she's a stay-at-home mom where she was for a little while. But we have women down there teaching, and it's doing really, really well for their company. This is a party one night of just all the people, just from the flight school. Look at it. I mean, so you don't think of people having a party out there. Now they're out there, they're serving wine and stuff like that, and very few of them went flying after that. Nah, none of them did. I was just kidding. But this is a good example of a student. This student lives in Maine, couldn't get her license. She had taken a written test, couldn't get her license because the weather was too bad in Maine, and her written test was going to run out at the end of September. She happens to be a daughter of was a business partner of mine. So she came and stayed with me. She took lessons over at St. Pete Air, and this is one of the things they do when you solo. They cut the back of your shirt out. If you turned around, you'd see a big hole about that size in the back of her shirt. But these people are coming from Maine. She came from Maine to take lessons here because we are here and we're lucky. The military uses it. So when I was talking to, looking on the flight today, there's about 900 and some movements from different military things. They come from Fort Rucker. This is a vertical, you know, the Osprey. The Coast Guard comes out there. They don't land that airplane, but they have to shoot approaches, and they do that a lot. And the Chinooks come in. It's a lot of fun. People love seeing those come in. I'd also say that this was a quote from Henry Lehrer. He says, "The airport runway is the most important main street of any town." Most towns you find have an airport. I used an airplane in my business, and I flew all over the Southeast, and I would always be able to find an airport in any town I wanted to go within about 30 miles. Just look at the ones we have around here. We have Albert Whitted, we have St. Pete Clearwater, we have Tampa, we have Sarasota, we have Peter of Night, we have one that's called Manatee, we have Plant City. I mean, they're everywhere. We need them. They are necessary to keep a community functioning. The FAA will tell you that Albert Whitted Airport is part of the national transportation system. It's a reliever airport for Tampa and St. Pete Clearwater, where the airlines are going in and out of, and Sarasota, and they can't have us in there binding things up. But you're going to find that the little airplanes, the big ones don't fly until the little ones do. You know, everybody has to learn in a small airplane before they get their pilot's license to be able to fly the big ones. It's critical that we have that. We would like you to, this love for AWA, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. We'd love for you to go in and follow us, like us, see what's going on. We're gonna keep you informed of what's going on. We put the economic plan up there for you. If you have any questions, you can ask questions. We'll be glad to answer them.
I keep an eye on the type of operations that are coming out of there. And I've seen a dramatic shift in the type of aircraft, PC-12s, light jets coming in. Has that statistic been factored into the discussion? More aircraft that I would say, these aren't cut-tie airplanes, these are somebody's business normally.
That's very good. It has a very astute observation. 55% of the operations are business operations or people coming from another area, and there are business people there. The BC-12 is a wonderful airport. It fits in that airplane, in that airport, really, really easy, holds a lot of people, economic to operate. There's not a lot of jets don't come in here. Some of them do, some of them can make it, but they can't do them at full gross weight with full fuel. And so the balance field takeoff doesn't work. Some of them come in and just don't tell their insurance companies they're doing it. And they're not telling the insurance companies, but it's, you know, the safety record out there is phenomenal. Everybody worries about it. But if you think we haven't banged in any houses, you know, it's safer there and everything we do than it is pedestrians. You would see the pedestrian problems we're having in St. Pete, people get whacked. Okay, and we could ask these guys to talk about the things that we don't see in the paper that where people are getting whacked, right? They're nodding their head, yes, in case you can't see, but they're very timid about it.
The scooters.
So, the scooters?
Yeah.
There's not enough runway to get one of those scooters in the air. Any other questions before I'm done? Yes, ma'am. You know, that's a very good question. It's like I planted you here. So we were on the advisory committee, and we were going, well, you know, we've been lax. What we're supposed to do, what we should have been doing all these years, was educating the committee about the community about the value of it. So we're doing, that's why we created Friends of Albert Leonard Airport. And our mission statement is to educate the community about the benefits of Albert Leonard Airport to the community. And that's what we're doing. And part of our goal is to get out and talk to the people to let them know. Did anybody learn something tonight that we didn't know about? Yeah, okay. And so, you did? Yes, ma'am. You learned something? Okay, yes. And so, okay, I'll get you in just a second. But that's our job. We've hired a marketing firm. We've hired that's running social media. We're going to be doing a lot of things. You're going to be seeing a lot more of us because our job is to educate you and let you know that this is really, really good. We're going to try to get these people from the hospital to talk about it a little bit more. There's other things going on there. There's another thing that's going on that people just don't realize. You notice anybody pay attention today that the air traffic control system went down? They didn't let anybody fly until 9 o'clock. There's a thing going on at Albert Witted where if the radar went down, that their Raytheon is designing a radar that can go on Humvee and it can go in airplanes. And so Raytheon is out here, they're testing it here, they've tried it, they're using those small airplanes. They chartered one of the BC-12s and they're taking it up there. And all that goes on and nobody knows. There's so many stories out there. We have one guy out there who's a lineman. That means he moves the airplanes around and fills them with fuel. He's from St. Petersburg. His father was St. Petersburg. He's a second generation lineman. He earns his living there. He raises his family. There's another guy there who does the same thing. Plus he cleans airplanes on the side. His name's Quentin. Quentin has 4 kids. One of them started college, and he's raised his family from that airport, working there. He's a hardworking individual from St. Petersburg. There's a lot going on there. Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's a good question. So what happens is, on a 20-year plan for Albert Leonard Airport, which the mayor stopped, but it's put back in motion again because the FAA says we have to do them every 5 years, and we're 7 years into it. We blame COVID, but he stopped it, but now we have to keep going. So the 20-year plan, I think you're gonna see it pretty soon. It should get approved by the city council this month or next month. And it's going to show an extension going out into the water by about 1,500 feet. And that's not That's not, I mean, that's good, and that allows some larger airplanes, but not a whole lot of them, because what's going to happen is, I don't know if you can see it or not, but right here, there's a line that's called an offset threshold. Well, that's the, that keeps the, there's a glide slope that comes up, and the glide slope keeps airplanes higher than this area here. Well, as they move this runway out 1,500 feet, they're going to move this out 1,500 feet. So all the airplanes are going to be higher over here. Okay, so they're going to be higher, and that's going to make it better. So you're not going to have, even if they have 1,500 feet on, it'll be 5,000 feet, but we won't have 5,000 feet of landing that way, because they're going to whack off another 1,500 feet, so that's 2,000. You're going to have about 3,000 feet, 3,500. But you'd have 5,000 coming this way, and you'd have 5,000 to take off, but you wouldn't have it to land. So that's not, you wouldn't have a 5,000 foot all both directions, any wind runway, but it will help a lot. But we'll never have the airlines here. It's just not gonna work. We're not made for that. That's not what we need. But it is an integral part, a necessary part of our downtown. It's who, it makes St. Pete who St. Pete is. It's got the pier, it's got all that waterfront, it's got the marina. It is part of the DNA, no pun intended, of St. Petersburg.
You have been listening to recorded portions of this week's St. Petersburg Downtown Neighborhood Association annual meeting. It featured a spotlight presentation on the Albert Whitted Airport. Speakers were Jack Tunstall of the Airport Advisory Committee and Walter Driggers, Friends of Albert Whitted Airport, Inc.